الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I am your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding your faith that you practice. Please call your friends and let them know that the Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, and also paper, pencil, pen, notebook pad, recorder, tablet, whatever way you want to be able to take notes, you want to take notes, then have it with you now. I'm going to give you a chance to go run and get it. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. And those who are our new listeners or new students to this class, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Today's topic will be on nikah. Nikah is spelled N-A-K-A-H. Again, that's K-A-H. That's N-I-K-A-H, which basically it means marriage or someone being married. Now, the definition of marriage, according to Webster's Dictionary, is, it has a couple of definitions. The state of being married, meaning wedlock, or legal union of a man and a woman as husband and wife. So I also want to define something more so we all will be on the same page. I'm talking about a man with all his original parts and a woman with all their her original parts. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about a man and a woman being husband and wife and married to each other. I know there are other things that exist today, but I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about our new concepts of man and woman and new concept of marriage and that sort of thing. I'm talking about a marriage between a man and a woman where everyone would have in their original parts. In Islam, there's no girlfriend and boyfriend in Islam. I cannot have a girlfriend or a chick on the side, and a Muslim woman cannot have a boyfriend and a chick on the, and a man on the side. So for me, no girlfriend and a woman on the side, and for the Muslim woman, no boyfriend or a man on the side. Also, we do not have sex outside of wedlock. Only way that we can have sex with each other is that we're married to the individual that we're with. Also, a Muslim woman can only marry a Muslim man. Or Muslim women can only marry Muslim men. Now, I want to mention a couple things. Now, there is one ayat or verse in the Quran that I'm going to read. I'm going to read a little bit of it in Arabic. Now, the name of the particular verse is Al-Araf, meaning A-L-A-R-F-F-A, and that's verse 189. Again, Al-Araf, because many ayahs in the Quran, all of them, all of the verses or chapters in the Quran, they have, they have names to them. They also have numbers to them. I'm going by the name, and it's Al-Araf, verse 189. And basically what it says, I'm going to read in Arabic and then also translate it into English, and it says, هو الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وجعل منها زوجها ليسكن إليها. Basically what it's saying is he it is who created you from a single person, Adam, and then he created his mate, meaning with his wife Eve, in order that he might enjoy the pleasure of living with her. So this particular verse, it talks about the creation of Adam. Then after, later on, created Eve as a company for Adam. So Adam and Eve, so they'd be able to enjoy each other. Now, in Islam, the Prophet, may peace and blessings be upon him, he said, when a servant gets married, he completes half of his religion. So let him fear Allah the remaining half. In other words, part of our faith is getting married. And the other part or half of our faith is fearing Allah, obeying Allah, worshiping Allah. So that is the completeness of the Muslim faith. Also, I want to advise everyone that before you get married, you should investigate before you invest. Meaning, learn about the person you're about to give your life to. Bring them fully into your life. And what I mean by that is that you make sure and check out the person's background and make sure this person is a match for you. And that they, and as much as possible, make sure they do not have any skeletons in their closet. For example, I am also what we call a guardian over women. Women who may not have a father or brother or uncle or grandfather, a male relative to be their guardian. And so if they don't have a Muslim male relative to be their guardian, then they will ask me to watch over them in terms of marriage. And so there was one sister I was watching over, and she was talking to the brother. And they talked and they talked, and he was ready to make intentions upon her, meaning that I want to marry you, I'm interested in marrying you. But before he could make intentions upon her, I said to him, your name so-and-so? I said his full name. He said, yes. I said, well, is your birthday so-and-so and so-and-so? And he basically said, yes. Then I said, well, can you answer a question for me? Explain to me why you have a protective order out against you, meaning a protective order, a peace order, a stay away order. And so his face really turned a whole nother color, because he did not know that I went that far in digging into his background to find out that someone put out a peace order or protective order against him, meaning that, or stay away order, meaning that obviously he abused someone, and they went to court, or the court commissioner, and they got the protective order to keep him away from them, so many feet or yards away from them, from their job or from their work or from their school. So he couldn't answer that question. And so, believe me, at that point, they did not make attention upon each other, or she accept his attentions to be her mate. And so they basically split up, because I gave her the heads up, basically, that this man is a possible abuser, or he abused someone, and he may also abuse you. That's what I mean by investigate before you invest. Check out the person's background the best you can. You go to, I think it's courts.com or courts.us, and you can plug the person's name in, and it come up any charges that the person have against them, or ask people about them. Because you're bringing this person into your family, into your life, maybe even around your children, maybe even have children with them. So you'll make sure that they are not a sex abuser, or they are not abuse women, or even a woman that abuse a man. Check them out too, because you just never know. And so, according to Islam, there are three ways that you get to learn a person. One is, you live with them. The second is you work with them. And then the third is you travel with them. And so you get to learn a person when you're around them a lot. When you work with them, like every day, 8 hours a day, or you travel with them, and you're with them while you're traveling in a hotel with them, or in some kind of other travel environment with them, and also, or you live with them. You get to really learn about an individual. Now, there was a time when a prophet was in his home, and he heard three people talking. And one brother said, they really wanted to increase their worship and the worship of Allah. And so they wanted to increase it, so they wanted to cut some things out of their life. So one man, he said, I'm going to fast and not break my fast. One man said, basically, I'm going to pray and not sleep. Another man said, I'm not going to get married so I can devote my full life to worshiping of God. And so then the prophet, he heard them and he said to them, he said, Wallahi, oh, by Allah, I am the most fearful of Allah of you, and I have the most taqwa, meaning the most piety amongst you. However, I fast and I break my fast. I pray at night and I sleep, and I marry women. Whoever turns away from my sunnah, meaning my way or my path, my practice, is not of me or not from me. Laysa minni, meaning not from me or not of me. And so he encouraged these men, although those are noble things that you're doing, but you must pray and sleep. You must fast and you must eat. And also he encouraged them to marry women. And so this was his correcting them. He also said to the youth, he said, O young men, whoever of you has the ability must get married or must wed. So this was his advice to the young men. And this is my advice to young people now. Instead of having sex with someone that you're not married to, get married. Perhaps you can get married and if you have to live in your parents' house for a while until you get yourself together and then move out on your own. But instead of committing adultery, instead of fornicating, having sex outside of marriage, then get married. And those guys who are having babies outside of wedlock, man, you guys got to stand up and be men. You had the child, you laid down with her, wherever way you had sex with her, and now the child produced. Now you got to man up. It's your responsibility. That's your child, and that's your responsibility to take care of your child, or don't do the act. So I'm encouraging my young guys out there and also young women, don't let them next to you like that. If you're not ready to take on full responsibility of you and anything that happens because you all got together in terms of male and female getting together. And the best way to do that, according to Islam, is that you get married. That way you get that full commitment from him. Now, some of the goals of marriage is this in Islam. One is to procreate. I'm sorry. That means to have more of yourself. And the prophet, he said, marry, for I shall boast on the day of judgment because of you due to your large numbers. The prophet want us to get married, and he want us to have more children so we can have more Muslim. And so, so he encouraged us to get married and encouraged us to, of course, have sex and encouraged us to make more of us so we have more of us and more people practicing and believing in Allah and obeying Allah and disciplining themselves according to what Islam says of us to do and what Islam tells us not to do. Also, in getting married, a person becomes more mature. A young man, when he's not married, he's only responsible for himself. But when he gets married, he's responsible for himself and his wife. And when they have children, he is responsible for himself, his wife, and any child or children that come out of a relationship. For us as Muslim, getting married is it is what you call the cornerstone of morality in society. Instead of jumping from person to person to person, you make a commitment to that person that you say that you love and that you adore and that you want to be with her or him in the right way. You get married to them according to Islam. This is what we do. And that is more moral and that is more right instead of hopping from person to person to person. Also, getting married, it binds families. When I get married to a woman, my family, her family becomes one family. And so it combines family for family support and for family gatherings. And it's just a good combining of the two family. Her mother becomes my mother. And my father becomes her father. We become, without the blood mixing, we become a family. And become close to each other. And so some of the goals of marriage, again, to create more, procreate, also for maturity, and it's a cornerstone of morality in a society, and also it combines families together. Now, the quality that a man should look at a wife is this. and perhaps for a wife to look at the husband, as that is the best quality for a person to have that you're going to get married to, is have religious, their religion, have religiously based. In other words, they can have beauty, they can have a strong family, have strong family lineage, they come from wealth. But the best thing to marry a person is there is based on their religion. How religious are them? How committed are they to Allah, to Almighty God? How obedient to Almighty God? Because they obey Allah, they're going to more likely treat you right. Because they have the answer to Allah, from Islamic standpoint, they have the answer to Allah of the things that they do and the things that they do not do. So I just want to let my students know this is how Islam sees things, as the quality of the person that we look for when we're talking about getting married. When we're talking about getting married in Islam. Now, some of the rights of a woman when she gets married, and the responsibility of the man to make sure that her rights are carried out, and one of them is her receiving a mahr or a dowry, D-O-W-R-Y. That's a dowry or mahr, which is M-A-H-R. And that means that it's a gift that a man gives to the woman. It could be books, it could be money, it could be jewelry, it could be a car, it could be whatever she asks for. If he can afford to do so, he gives that to her for an appreciation of her. And it's a gift given to her. It's not for her to give to her father or to her mother or to her brother, anyone like that. That is her gift that he gives to her. Also, the woman has the right to be maintained, meaning that according to Islam, the men are the protectors and maintainers of the women, because Allah has given the one more strength than the other, and because they support them from their means. So responsibility of taking care of my wife, and of course any children come into the relationship, is fully my responsibility. And let me clear something up for you, and that is, her money that she makes is her money. And the money that I make is her money too. Meaning that whatever money that she makes, she works for, she can get her nails done, her hair done, buy food, buy jewelry, whatever she wants. She has to share any of it with me. She has to even pay any bills, because I'm responsible for the bills. And my money is her money, because I clothe her, I feed her, I get shelter for her. Those are all my responsibility for taking care of my wife. Even in Islam, a Muslim man can have more than one wife, up to four wives. I have to be able to provide for all four wives, or only just have one wife. If I can't provide for them and take care of them, then it's best for me to only have one wife, instead of trying to get four wives and they all on welfare, or they all are poor, or having one wife live in a mansion, another wife living in some shack, or almost be homeless. And so that's not me taking care of my family. That's the government and other people, taxpayers, taking care of my family. But the thing is that if I'm going to get a wife, I just have to take care of that wife, because I am a protector and maintainer of my wife. And I want, in those Muslim sisters who do not know this, and also non-Muslim women who do not know this, and that is that the man is the maintainer, protector of you, that he, and the Muslim man, and that your money is your money, and his money is your money too, for him to take care of you. Also, another right of the woman is that to be treated kindly and treated with respect, and not to be beaten. Any woman, no woman should be beaten. A woman's hit one time, that's one time too many. And if you're going to stay with a man that's going to beat you, then you really need to think some things through and get some help from someone, because that is not a good and healthy situation for you to be in. And you also pass in that same behavior down to your children. For women, for your girls to look for men who beat them, and it may keep that cycle up. And for boys to say, oh, this is how I show love, this is how I control a woman, and I have to beat them, and keep that cycle up. No, that cycle needs to be broken, and broken now, not tomorrow. It's broken right now, because no man should put his hands on no woman, nor should a woman put her hands on a man. It works both ways. And so one of the rights of a woman is that she is not beaten by her spouse, and that she's treated kindly by her spouse, and that also that her spouse protect her honor. If someone is saying anything negative about her, then he should defend her, to defend her honor. And he knows it's not true, and so he stand up for his wife. It doesn't matter who is saying it. Don't say that about my wife. Please do not say that again about my wife. If you continue to do that, we're gonna have a problem between the two of us. So the woman have a right to a dowry. The woman have a right to be taken care of. The woman has a right to be treated properly, and also not to be beaten, and also her honor is defended. Now, on the husband's side, he has a right to be the head of the household, meaning that you can't have two captains on one ship. And I know some people may have a problem with this, but then again, you just have to have a problem with that. But if you marry to a Muslim man, the man is the head of the household, and the final decision is his to make. Sure, the woman is not his maid, but his aide. He listen to her, get her advice pertaining to something, and get her input pertaining to something. So don't slight the women, brothers, in that area, men in that area. Listen to what they have to say, and then make a decision based on all evidence or information that you have, and just make the right decision that is best for your family. And he has the right to be obeyed by his wife. Not obeyed to the sense that he said, oh, walk in front of that bus right there, that speeding bus. No, not that kind of silliness. But to be obeyed, basically be obeyed by his wife. His husband had to be obeyed by his wife. That's one of his rights. Also, the wife cannot allow someone in the house that the husband does not want into the house. Let me give you an example. Is Aunt so-and-so, every time you love that man to death. When he goes to work, you miss him, and you almost looking out the window every time, hoping that he's going to come home soon. But then when Aunt so-and-so comes over the house, she is miserable. She's been lonely all her life. She has a lot of problems with men in her life. So she tried to spill that over into you so you can start hating on your husband. Although you know you love him, you know he's not doing anything that your aunt is talking about. But every time when the husband comes home, you change as the aunt so-and-so comes there. So the husband has the right to say, Aunt so-and-so cannot come into my house if I'm not here. Because I need to control the environment, the situation. And so she has to obey him. That is his right to protect his household, making sure that no one's coming to his household that's going to disrupt the harmony and the peace of his household. And so that is the man's right, and of course for the woman to honor it. And so he is the head of the household, that he has the right to be obeyed by his wife, and also you are not to allow anyone into the house that's going to cause problems, and he can limit that person's access to you and being in the house. Now, to both the women and to the men, The prophet made a principle of problem. He said, the best of you is he who is best to his family, or meaning to his wife. And I am the best of you to my family. And so he encouraged the men to be best to his wife. To be best, if you have one wife or multiple wives, he encouraged the men to be best to his wife. This is the Islamic way of marriage, is that we do not treat our women in a bad way. In a demeaning way, or saying negative things about her. We treat her with the beauty that she deserves, and respect she deserves, and the kindness she deserves, and the compassion that she deserves. Again, the prophet, he said, the best of you is the one who is best to his wife or to his family, and I am the best of you to my family. And it is also mentioned in Islam that it says, but basically that some of the criteria for a person getting married is this. We have basically three. Is that the woman receives a dowry. Also, we have witnesses. It could be two or more witnesses. And also, the man asks the woman to accept him in marriage. So those are the basic criteria in Islam. Just those three criteria. That's it. One is that the man giving a woman the dowry, she accept the dowry. The other one is that we have witnesses. And then the third thing is I'm asking the wife, you know, will you marry me? And then she has the option of saying yes or no. Because there's no compulsion, no making a woman get married. A father, brother, uncle, grandfather, no one can make the woman say, you marry this individual. And not, we don't have that in Islam, or basically arranged marriages in Islam. Now, culturally, people may do that. But in Islam, we don't have arranged marriages. But the thing is, she cannot be forced into a marriage because she will not be happy and he will not be happy, because he can see on her face she's not happy in the marriage. And he will not be happy because she's not happy in the marriage. And she will always show in her character and her behavior that I really do not want to be in this marriage, and that I was forced into this marriage. And so that's a question that I would ask. And when I'm marrying people, anyone force you into this marriage? Anyone make you get married? I would ask her that one-on-one, alone from everyone else, so she won't feel pressure and look at someone that may be pressuring her to get married. And if someone's pressuring her to get married, then I don't perform the marriage, because there's no compulsion like that. So we have three things. We have the dowry is served to the woman or given to the woman. We have witnesses to the marriage, and also we have the asking and acceptance of the marriage. Meaning I say to her, will you so-and-so, will you marry me? And then she says to me, yes, I will marry you. So that's basically what the Islamic marriage is all about. We have to get married. There's no female or girlfriend, boyfriend situation in Islam. That is unheard of. If I'm interested in someone, then we have to have a chaperone. In other words, I'm interested in sister so-and-so, and then she and I and a chaperone would be with us and while we're talking, to make sure that we don't do anything beyond our conversation. And because if a male and female together not married to each other, the third party becomes Shaitan or the devil that's going to encourage us to do things we should not be doing. So that's why we should have an escort with us. But once we are married to each other, then we will no longer need an escort, and then we can be with each other as husband and wife and do the things that the husband and wife does. So that's basically some of the basic information for our class today about the Islamic faith and getting married. And again, remember, investigate before you invest yourself in the relationship. Learn about a person. You live with them, you work with them, and you travel with them. And women do not take abuse from any man, meaning verbal, psychological abuse, physical abuse, none of those things. You do not take that from any individual, and you get help, because a lot of organizations out there to give you the help that you need. You have been listening to or attending Islamic Faith in Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.